Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, I've entitled this evening's message, God Does Hear Us. God does hear us. Amen. And we're going to look at the scriptures here in 1 John, and we're going to see that God's word does not come back void. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The Bible's true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Meaning, those who come and refute the word of God, God calls them a liar because God's word is already forever settled in heaven. Yeah. Amen. So let's read these verses, and then we're going to break it down line by line, precept upon precept, word by word. Amen? And so it reads, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Hears us. This is where I got that. He hears us. Praise God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what? The petitions that we ask of him. Verse 16, look at this. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. This is going to be a little complicated for some of you, but it's going to be, God's going to give you clarity in a few minutes regarding these verses of scriptures. Now, it says there is sin leading to death. Now, there is a sin that leads to death. I won't disclose that just yet until we get to this portion. But there is a sin that leads to death. Amen. All other sins, God, hallelujah, is merciful. Can I get amen? And it says, I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. But we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. What? Does that sound like it's contradictory? Almost does. But we're going to see how this, God reveals this tonight. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Aren't you so blessed?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, that the wicked one cannot touch us anymore?
Yep.
Verse 19, look at this. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. I need you to catch that, what's going on in the world right now. It's under the control of the wicked one, but God, hallelujah, it doesn't take anyone. Listen, none of this, what's happening in the world, takes God by surprise. Can I get amen? He allows it to happen for his greater purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. How many believe that he is true? Huh? Is God true or what? Yes. And we are in him who is true. You see that? We're in Christ. So the truth is in us as well. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is going to exhort us tonight. And we're going to read these scriptures and break them down, knowing what God has in store for us is good. How many believe that we serve a mighty God, a great God? So he gives us nothing but good gifts.
Thank you, Lord.
And one of the things that he has given us is what? Eternal life. Praise God. So let's look at 14 and 15 again, and then we'll continue. And so here we go. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. Praise God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let me just say this. Tonight, at 5 o'clock when we prayed, every petition that we lifted up, he heard it.
Hallelujah.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Every petition, every supplication, every prayer. The moment you woke up this morning, the moment you started thinking about him, the moment you started lifting things up in prayer, he heard it. Can I get amen? And he heard it yesterday and the day before. Listen, 3 days ago, can you remember what you prayed for? But he remembers everything. We have but a short memory. Can I get amen? But he remembers everything. And he remembers the things that pertain to our life. And so believers also can be confident that God will listen to their prayers. And we all believe that, don't we? Confidence means boldness or freedom to speak to our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says right here in the Word. Let's go back up here to the Word. Look at this in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let me just say this. Hallelujah. Some of our prayers tonight, we were crying out, God, mercy. Heal our family members. Save our family members. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, we need to be a church full of the Holy Ghost power. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, they will be answered whenever they ask him for anything in line with his will. So whatever we pray for, it's got to be lined up to what? His will. So we can't go to God in a covetous way. Oh, God, I'm tired of my VW little bug. I need a Mercedes right now. You know, we can't tempt God that way. He will give us what we need. Can I get amen? Whatever we need, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But we need to look at the scripture regarding this so that we can understand. So let's go back here to the Word and look at this in John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. It's got to be in the name. And it's got to be according to his will. Can I get amen? Look at this in John 14:15. If you love me, what does it say? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Wow. Remember we talked about that this evening? The helper, which is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. How many are so blessed to know that God wants to live inside you forever? I'm talking when this physical body perishes, we will still be with him. Our soul and our spirit will never die. It will be with him forevermore. And then he promised us the new what? The new body. And look what else it says here in chapter 16. Look at this. In verse 21. And it says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. How many of you have children before? So you know what childbearing means, huh? And you remember when the pangs started coming. Woo, man. I'm telling you, don't get close to a woman that's travailing, because her claws will go deep in your skin. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have what? Sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy, what? No one will take from you. Woo! Praise God. No one will take the joy of the Lord from you. I don't care if it's persecution. I don't care if it's famine. I don't care if it's sickness or sorrow. Hallelujah. God will never remove his joy from us. And look at this right here. And in that day, you will ask what? You will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is what I'm going to challenge from this point on to our congregation, is challenging them for more joy. for more of His presence, for more of His power. We need His power in our life. Because if we don't have any power, guess what? We can't do the things. We saw Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we went to a football game, and we saw our brother right here. He was like Nick Bosa. You know who Nick Bosa is? He's a defensive end for the 49ers. And Yolanda goes, he reminds me of Nick Bosa. This guy had physical power that no one else on his team had, at least not to me. They couldn't stop him. He was in the backfield every play. And to me, that's physical power. But I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We need Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you see that movie Sunday night, I hope you guys all come back. This team got filled. I'm not going to give you too much clues. But this team that's in this movie got filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. And they became a different team. Hallelujah. I say no more. I don't want to give too much away here. Look at this now. I'm going to ask this. So how can believers pray that way? How can we pray for more power? You know what? You know how you do that? By surrendering to Him. Surrendering your total will to Him. Saying, God, here I am. Here I stand before You, or I kneel before You, or however you pray to Him. But here I am, oh God. And I give You everything. I give You everything. You created me. I give You everything, God. And so, God, in return, will You touch me? Will You bless me? Will You give me that power? Will You give me that joy that Pastor keeps talking about? And He will. How many believe He will? Oh, that's right. And so, I need you to see this. How do they know what is God's will? You ever ask yourself that? How do you know it's God's will that you're praying for? Well, number one, it's got to line up with Scripture. You see, saints, this happens as part of their growth and relationship with Christ. Listen, there's baby Christians in our church, but they're going to grow. It's just like little Ezra back here. He's just a child, but he's going to grow, and he's being nurtured. And one of the best things that's taking place with him is he comes to little Sunday school where he's taught the Word of God. And we got blessed teachers. Hallelujah. Blessed teachers teaching them the Word of God. Guess what? That will not go back void. As he matures, as he grows, nothing will come back void. When people choose to place their will in line with God's will, the Holy Spirit in them will teach them to understand God's will more completely. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, because the Holy Spirit reveals God's will as it is taught in the Word of God, in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, in turn, helps them to pray to God's will. And let's turn to the Scriptures and see this. Likewise, look at this. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. You see that? The Holy Spirit. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a lot of times I'm on my knees and I'm saying, God, I'm blank right now. I don't even know what to pray for. And sometimes your prayers get hindered at that moment. Guess what? Start worshiping Him. Start praising Him. Start saying, God, I love You. I praise You. Then all of a sudden, God knows already what to pray for you. Can I get amen? When you don't even know what to pray for. That's what the Bible says right here. Now look at this, verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes what? Intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for us when we don't know what to pray for. And he's always going to lead us to pray according to his will. Saints, Jesus himself was a model of this. Did you know that? He taught his followers to pray for God's will to be accomplished on this earth. Look at this scripture right here. Your kingdom come, your what? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we look at that as a repetitious prayer, But this is meaningful. This is truth of the Word of God. On the Mount Beatitudes, if you've gone to Israel before, we go to a mountain called the Beatitude. And this is where the Sermon on the Mount was. And this is where Jesus spoke of the Beatitudes. This was one of them. He taught them how to pray. He taught them, and then he went through the Beatitudes. Praise God. And so God chose his will over his bitter cup. Remember when he was going to be crucified? You remember that? And so where was he? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's on the Mount of Olives. For those of us who've been to Israel, it was on the Mount of Olives. Let's look what the scripture says about this. Look at this in Matthew 26. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," look at this, "not as I will, but as what? You will." Listen, his flesh didn't want to go to the cross. Just imagine if God showed you a vision of the cross, that you were going to be up there nailed, bleeding, battered, your whole skin torn of beatings, and you were naked. You know how we see Jesus on the cross in movies? We see him on pictures, on statues, whatever. He always had a little terry cloth on. No. Isaiah said he was naked before the world. Hallelujah. And the Father, his Father in heaven had to turn because it was so shameful that his Son had to take on the sins of the world. But Jesus went to the cross because not of his will, but the Father's will. Can I get amen? And so when we learn how to pray, we're going to pray just like that, according to the Father's will. Look at what else it says here in verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you, I'm going to ask this question. How many of you, with a good heart that you have, your intentions is to get on your knees and start praying, and then something comes and sidetrack you. Something comes to block you. Something comes to interfere. And who's that? The enemy. Why? Because he doesn't want you praying in Jesus' name. If the enemy can thwart you and move you away from God's will, he's done his part. This is where you have to press through your flesh. Say, I'm turning everything off. I'm turning my phone off. I'm turning everything off. And I'm going to get before you, God. And I'm going to hear you, God. And so let's look at this right here. Let's finish up this scripture. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away praying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, what? Your will be done." Your will be done. Saints, in communicating with God, believers do not demand what they want or think or need. Rather, they discuss with God what he wants for them. That's what we should do. God, what's best for me? What's best for my family? We can come up with all kinds of schemes, all kinds of gimmicks, all kinds of things that we think is best. But I want, God, what's best for us? What's best for me? What's best for my family? What's best? What are the best decisions that I have to make? Because many of us have to make decisions. Can I get an amen? And I'd rather have God helping me with that decision than doing it on my own. Can I get an amen? Praise God. It's got to be the will of God. When believers align their prayers to God's will, he is listening when they make their request. How many of you want your request to be made known unto God? Yes. Amen. Amen. And he will, as long as you defer everything to him. And since they know that he hears their prayers, and all of us raised our hands, we know he hears us, right? You and I, we can be certain that he will give us a definite answer in his time. In his time. Not right now. We can pray right now, and we're going, how come you didn't answer? He'll answer in his time. Praying in line with God's will is the key to getting what you and I ask for. That's the key. So let's move on now to verse 16 and 17. And we're going to go right back up here to the Word. And we're going to be in first, still in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, if anyone sees his brother sinning in a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to what? To death. There is sin leading to death, and I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Wow. So that sounds contradictory, but it's not. It's not. The example describes the kind of petition that God will answer. Okay, we have to be careful how we pray. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it in the most polite way I can. We have to be careful how we pray for certain people in our life. You know why? Because if we're praying for them to change according to our will, guess what that kind of prayer is? It's like witchcraft. And that's what witches do. That's what warlocks do. They try to change that person. So the way we need to pray for individuals, God, your perfect will be done. Oh, God, help this person in areas where they struggle. You see, there's a way to pray, and there's a way not to pray. And so we have to be real careful on how we pray for folks, because then God will look at it and look, well, wait a minute. Are you trying to change them into your image? Or are you leaving them to me so that I can transform them into my image? Are you catching this? And that's what we have to be very careful on this. You see, intercessory prayer forms a vital part of the fellowship of the church. Can I get an amen? Look at what it says right here in John 20, 20. Look at this. If you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What does that mean? We're talking about prayer. We're talking about God's will, right? So we have to be careful that we always won't hold. You ever heard, let me just put it this way. You ever heard it said like this? I forgive you, but I still remember. You really haven't forgiven them. Because you're always going to remember what they've done to you. And so you're not going to know how to let that go. You're going to hold them accountable to that. Well, once you forgive them, you got to let it go and say, God, now I forgave them. Lord, let your perfect will be done, especially between me and thee and you. Because, man, I'm telling you, we can do things and we think it's God's will and it's not. Because we're still harboring anger at what they've done. And we got to let that go. There's people that have done me wrong in my life. God had to show me, you got to let it go. If you can't learn to let it go, I can't allow you to preach and teach. Because there's been a lot of people that have hurt us in the past. And we had to let it go. Why? Because if we harbor any sin, then guess what? Everyone that comes into our sphere, we're going to always be, are they for us or against us? You can't have that attitude. You got to let those things. People are going to hurt you. People are going to hurt me because we're sinful. And because we're sinful, we're going to hurt each other every now and then. But can you forgive? Can you let go? Can you still embrace? Can you say, you know what? I don't care. You're still my brother. You're my sister. And I love you regardless. Because Jesus did that on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we have that same attitude? You see, John's readers apparently understood the difference. And saints of God, John did not elaborate any further than he had to regarding in 1 John chapter 5. And so let me look at this. We're going to look at this right now. I'm going to have your attention right up here. Specific sin. Specific sin. Now, remember I told you there were some sins that led to death? Huh? There were some sins that led to death? Well, we have a perfect example when we look back into the Old Testament and how God, hallelujah, gave us grace in the New Testament. Can I get an amen? You see, in Moses' law, some sins were punishable by death. Others required a sacrifice for repentance and restoration. And that's what we go through now in the New Testament. But look at this in Numbers. It's right here. Look at this. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. What? Oh, yeah. That's how God looked at this. And look what he also wrote in Leviticus up here. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any kind of descendants to Molech. Guess who Molech was? Molech was the god at that time that threw their babies into the fire. And that sin is still here. They're not throwing them in the fire. It's done through abortion. Now look at this. It says right here, he shall surely be put to death. So back then, God didn't play around, did he? The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Wow. Wow, they didn't play around back then. Look at this. In verse 3, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from that man, when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, what? Look at this. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. Wow. Wow. So we see there were certain sins in the Old Testament. Now we're going to deal with the New Testament. Did God judge in the New Testament as well? Let me ask this question. Who can think of, real quickly before we go through this next scripture, who in the New Testament that God had to put down? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that God of love?
Judas.
No, he hung himself. He hung himself. That God took out. Who could think of that? Come on. Okay, I'm going to give you the book. It's in the book of Acts. New Testament. Okay, let's go here. I'm going to show you something here. Because God had to show the new church that he wasn't playing around. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But when God died and rose again, he sent the Holy Ghost. Then a dispensation of grace came, but still God deals with sin seriously. But we have an opportunity to repent and get it right with him. Can I get an amen? So let's go to this scripture that I'm talking about. Let's go here. In Acts 5, 1 through 11, look at this. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Look at this. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they did was they held back some of the money. They were stealing from God. Look at this in verse 3 right up here. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? This is what we need to be very careful. Don't lie to God. We're going to lie to one another. It happens. But don't lie to God. Can I get amen? Because God takes that serious. And God has put this out here tonight so that we can reverence God and fear God with a holy fear. Not that we're scared of him, that he wants reverence. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to know that he is God and we are not. Can I get amen? So look at this. It says, and after it was sold. Was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Wow. They lied to God. Look at this, verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. He dropped dead right there in front of the apostles. Wow. Look at this. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. They buried him right away. Look at this. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in not knowing what had happened. Okay, so here she was in cahoots too. Can I get an amen? They were Bonnie and Clyde. All that in the New Testament. This ain't Old Testament. This is the dispensation we're in now. Look at this in verse 8. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit, capital S, what? Holy Spirit of the Lord. Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." What? And look at this. In verse 10, then immediately she fell down at the feet and breathed her last breath. Wow. Wow. This is why we need to be really genuine with the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Listen, we're going to fall short. We're going to sin. And God sees it. So God gives us an opportunity. Confess it. Just say, "God, man, I blew it, God. Help me, God. Help me, God." But when you start lying to God, that's when God's going to look at it in a whole different light, because he sees our actions. He sees our motives. He sees our deeds. Don't lie. We can lie to one another and get forgiveness from him, but don't lie to him. Can I get an amen? Because this is a serious matter here. Look at this. Then it says, then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Wow. Wow. So Paul went on to further exhort the churches during this time. The Corinthian church. Why? Let me just say this. In Corinth, and we've been to Corinth, it's in Ephesus, it's in Turkey. So look at the country of Turkey. Then there is a city called Ephesus, okay, and then there was a town called Corinth. We've been there. We went on a tour with Israel, with Mission Valley, to see the seven churches of Revelation. And one of those places where Satan sat. Oh yeah, we saw it hand in hand. But why did Paul always talk about sexual immorality to that place? Because it was a place of commerce. People came in there through land and through sea. And so there was a whole lot of prostitution going on. There was a whole lot of homosexuality going on. And Paul had to bring order in the Corinth church. And this applies to us today as well. Look what it says here in the Word of God right up here. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles that a man has and his father's wife. In other words, there was all kinds of taboo stuff going on, things that were unheard of. Look at this. And you are puffed up and have not mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Listen, here is where you see church government at act. This is where you see where Paul had to bring direction to the church, because it was going a whole different direction. And today, the church that we live in today, I was watching Fox, you know, and trying to get updated what's happening in Gaza. And then at the very bottom, there's these little links that you could go to and stuff like that. And I clicked on one of those links, and it was on Fox News. But oh my gosh, there was some wickedness that I'd never saw. They were showing... They showed this one church in Atlanta, a church. It's called the Accepted Church. I want you to Google that. It's a black church. And the pastor and his elder both of them were homosexual males. I said, what? Things have not changed in 2,000 years. There's still unrighteousness going on today. And God's going to deal with it harshly. He's going to deal with it one day. And this is why he says, look at this. Look what it says in verse 3. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him with who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, look at this, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. They had to turn that person over to Satan to destroy him. Wow. This is a serious matter that these had to go through to establish the church. And we're looking at the same sin that has not changed in 2,000 years. This is why we need to humbly walk, humbly before God. We have to be true to one another. We got to be true to God. We got to be true to the ministry of God. You got to be true to your brother and sister. You got to be true to your family. You got to be true to your spouse. You got to be true to your children. There can't be nothing in between that. You have to be faithful and true because Jesus was. And we need to emulate him. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in 1 Timothy, and then we're going to move on to verse 18 of 1 John chapter 5. Look at this. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I, look at Paul said, I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. You see, churches won't read these scriptures to their congregation. They just go over them. We didn't need to tell them that there's church order. We didn't need to tell them that there's sin in the camp. If there's sin in the camp, God is going to reveal it. Can I get an amen? And so what is God trying to tell us tonight? That we should walk worthy of the call. Walk circumspectly. And when we commit certain things, we are to confess them right away to him. Can I get an amen? Don't let that sin go days and weeks. Because guess what? It's going to be so heavy on you, you're not going to even be in church no more. Because Satan's going to drive you out. And guess what? God will allow it. You know why? Because you haven't confessed it to him. I'm hoping that this will strengthen us and help us. But John did not refer to physical death as much as spiritual death. While every wrong is sin, and we know this, saints of God, that is, all unrighteousness is sin, including the sin committed by believers, but not all sin leads to death. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. It doesn't. So, what is the one sin in the New Testament that will lead to death now? The blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And how do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? You reject God altogether. In other words, you remain an unbeliever. Say, nah, that's for you. I'm glad you found God. You ever hear that? I'm glad you needed God. That's what they say. And then they die in their sin. Wow. People die in their sin? Yes, they do. They do. We don't know who they are, but they do. Because not everybody in this world will be saved. We all get that. And what did we pray for? You prayed for tonight, sister, for the remnant. There's a remnant. What is a remnant? Around the world, God knows who are his. Hallelujah. And guess what? Every one of us in here are his. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. We're here because we love him. We're here because he's called us. We're here because what he started, he's going to complete. He's going to complete everything he started in your life, in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, so let's move on now to verse 18 in 1 John chapter 5. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Wow. You see, saints, believers, those who are part of God's family, here's the difference. Here's what I love. I want you to catch this. If you've been truly born of God, filled with His Spirit, whenever we sin, there's conviction that comes upon us. And then God says, I need you to get that right with me. Get it right with me. An unbeliever will continue to sin like there's no tomorrow. And they have no conviction. And they have, listen, I've been, by God's grace, I've been walking with God for 34 years. How many of you have been walking for at least 20 years? Raise your hand. Just lift up your hand. Okay, so there's some of you who have been walking here for 20 years. How many of you have been walking for at least 10 years? Okay. And then some of you have just gotten newly saved. Can I get an amen? And so, from the moment we get saved and we get filled with the Spirit, the Bible says we are forever His now. And so guess what? God says He doesn't look at our sin anymore because of the blood. See, the blood has covered us. And because the blood has covered us, now go back to the Passover. When they had to put the blood, on the doorposts and the lintel, right? Yep. And the death angel, passed over them. Well, Jesus is now our Passover lamb. Can I get amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So death will pass over us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo, man, I'm so blessed to know that we will be with Him forevermore. Amen. We are His. And we won't stay in a certain sin. God will convict us, and we'll come forth with it, and then we will reject that sin, and then we will move on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. This is what I love about being a believer, is because we'll never be stuck long in certain situations. And sometimes God will allow us to be in that so we learn something. And then He comes in and He rescues us. Can I get amen? Amen. Don't you love when He rescues your bacon? Amen. Oh, come on. Well, that's right. So now, let's move on to verse 19. We know that we are what? Of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Okay, so you ever ask yourself that, why is there wars? There's been wars since Adam and Eve. Since Cain killed Abel, that was almost 6,000 years ago. So how many wars have gone by? Wars after wars after wars. Why? Because mankind is sinful. How many wars are going on right now? There's 30 wars in our day right now. The two big wars right now that we know of is the Middle East war with Hamas and Israel, and Russia and Ukraine. But there's many more. There's many more skirmishes. Why is it like that? Because Jesus hasn't returned yet to the earth. So when Jesus comes, hallelujah, there will be peace around the whole world now. And everything will line up according to His will. I can't wait for that day. You know what? God is saying to each and every one of us, hold on. Because that day's coming and is approaching fast. We're seeing the labor pains right now. We're seeing the birth pains of what's happening in the world. And don't be frightened, because there's three wars that need to take place. The first one is this major one in the Middle East. There was a prophecy by Henry Gruver. I want you to Google search Henry Gruver, G-R-U-V-E-R. This guy was a prophet, and he said the first of the three wars of the apocalypse is going to be when when the IDF goes into Gaza and do a land invasion, and they're in there now. So we're seeing this right now. They've gone in on foot. They're not just bombing them no more. They're in foot now. The next one that's going to bust out real shortly is us in China. Did you know Because no one tells us that there are 5 warships now off the coast of the Philippines, real close to China. The next one's going to bust out because they're going to invade Taiwan. And we're going to get involved. The last war is going to strike us hard. Russia is going to sneak attack us on our land. Why is God going to allow that? Because the whole nation in general, not the remnant, has turned away from God. And more than 70 million babies aborted in our country. And let me just say this. What's accepted now everywhere. It's accepted in society. It's accepted in the political, geopolitical world. It's accepted in our schools. It's accepted in our courts. It's accepted in our society. It's homosexuality. Oh, yeah. It's accepted now. It's legal now. But it's illegal to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let God be true and every man a liar. And this is why God's going to allow the judgment to come to this nation, because they're forgetting about that one big giant one right there. You know, God remembers all that. Listen, if he doesn't judge our nation, and I'm not a doomsday preacher up here at all. I'm just telling you what I've studied and saw, how God dealt with nations that fell into sexual immoral sins. He destroyed them. He caused enemies to come and destroy them. Because if he doesn't judge our nation for that atrocious sin, he's got to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and give them an apology. And he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. So this is why, if you notice, in the past year, all my messages have been, draw close to God. Draw close to God. Hallelujah. Draw close to him. He's our shelter. He's our buckler. Can I get amen? He's our shield. He's the one that will watch over us. And if they drop a bomb here, the moment we close our eyes, we open them in paradise with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Hallelujah. And what we need to do is let people know that Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
And get your house, get your life right with God now. There's no time for it no more. Because once those things hit the fan, the joke's over. The joke's over. It's going to hit, and people are going to be shocked in this land. They're going to be so shocked. Man, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit so strong right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And when I feel his power, it's because he wants to bring truth to us. We're not here giving fairy tales up here. We're to be ready. And so when you look at a few of us that are here tonight gathered, the remnant around the world is really but a few. It's about no more than 2% around the world. So this is why Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. So it's narrow, meaning around the world, there's only a percentage of those who are his. Is there hope for them? Yes. Absolutely. And God wants to use us to tell them.
Yes.
Listen, God just put this on my heart. Many of us have sons, daughters, cousins. The next time, God's going to challenge us now. The next time you speak to one of them, God is saying, speak my name to them. Remind them about me. Remind them that they're coming. Oh, that's right. Remind them. Invite them out to church and tell them that, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming soon. Get your life right. Because if we button it up, you know what we're saying to God? We're ashamed of him. He goes, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Hallelujah. We need to tell people about the love of God. Tomorrow's going to be an awesome day for these two young ladies. They're going to go out there and feed the homeless. But they're not just going to stuff their face. They're going to tell them about Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They're going to tell them about Jesus. This was given to us by God's love to you. This is a reminder that God loves you. And some of them may just take it and throw it away or hog it down and not even say thank you. That's okay. That's okay. You know why? Because God sees your deeds, not theirs.
That's right.
He sees what you're doing. Hallelujah. And that your heart's in the right place. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. So we're moving. We only got a couple more verses and we're done tonight. Look at this. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that we have eternal life? You see, saints, the Holy Spirit has given believers understanding so that they can know the true God. We got the Holy Ghost because he wants us to know him in an intimate and personal way. Can I get amen? We don't know him just by ink on pages. You can read about him, but do you know him? And that's what he wants from us, to know him. Can I get amen? And so let's go to verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen and amen. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
Keep yourself from idols. Praise God. Praise God. And so the letter closes, this letter in chapter 5, it closes with a final affectionate caution. Given the context of this letter, saints of God, anything might take God's place probably refers to false teaching that present false images of Jesus. That's why we need to keep ourselves from idols. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I truly believe God is doing something wonderful in your lives. How many believe that he's doing something wonderful in your life? Oh, he is. And I see it. I see it. I see God doing something wonderful. You know why? Because you are showing God, not me, you're showing God your desire to be in his word, to be in his presence, to learn how to love one another. And that should be exciting for you, what God is doing in your life. That's a sign to you that God's doing something special in your life. Hallelujah. And so it's so good to see you all here. It's so good to see my brother right here, who we saw Friday. Hallelujah. Man, he was omnipresent on that field. I'm going to pray for you, brother, that God, the tenacity that you have chasing quarterbacks and running backs and some serious tackling that we saw, that God will use you in the spirit that way. That you will go after those giants that are enemies of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I prophesy over you that God's going to do something mighty, and he's going to do it quickly, and he's going to empower you. You're here not because of an invitation. You're here because God brought you here, Brother Frankie. And God wants to use you mightily. Hallelujah. Whether it's on the football field, whether it's in school, I believe you're going to Southwestern College, right? God's going to use you there. Hallelujah. To speak his name. And you're going to excel even in your sport because you're not going to go unnoticed. That game that we were there, there were a lot of scouts out there. And they saw you play like we saw you play. And when Yolanda said, that looks like Nick Bosa out there. Just a little shorter than him. You were all over the place, brother. And you know what? It made us proud to know that we know you. Hallelujah. And you were a child when your mom was bringing you. And look, you're a grown man, and God is doing something marvelous in your life. And so I want you guys to point over toward Frankie right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for this young man that's here with us. Lord, do something mighty in his life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his mother. We thank you for his family. We thank you, God, what you're doing in his life, oh God. Father, I pray you would do something so mighty that we would be in awe of what you're doing in this young man. He has so much potential and so much you want to do in his life. And so, God, bless him beyond his comprehension. Open up doors at Southwestern. Open up doors, oh God. Give them favor from you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, blessings upon this young man in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, God. In the name of all names, the name of Jesus, oh, we bless you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Listen, before we sign off, I want to give that invitation. And Mamie, just Mamie, you logged in for the very first time, second time, I don't know. And maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, and give you that opportunity to receive Christ by faith. And if that's you watching right now, I believe this is your moment with God. God's been tugging at your heart. God has been calling you to get close to him for the things that are happening now in this world. And we truly believe that any moment now, God is going to call us home. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this earth is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And so we're here but for a moment. We're here but for a blink of an eye. But while you have us here, God, use us. Use us in mighty ways. Hallelujah. Use us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And before I ask you that are watching, I also want to give one more shout out to our brother that's here as well, Brother Louie that's here. I see God using you mightily. I had to pause right now. He's using you mightily. He wants to do things beyond that you could ever think and ask and hope for. I see you just moving mightily in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to cause you to be the man of valor that he's called you to be. Hallelujah. So God, use Brother Louie mightily in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And so those who are watching, pray this prayer by faith and ask God to come into your life and watch him do the miraculous in your life. And so pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Come on. Is he worthy? Woo! Worthy is the King. Saints of God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.